go home, go to the house. But I really feel like that this simple story holds heavy truths that can really, really change our lives from day to day if we apply them. And that's what God's Word does, every bit of it from cover to cover. You know, a lot of times I think we get overwhelmed when we think about Bible reading and we look at our Bible even. We kind of lose heart at times, I think, because we look at it and we're thinking, man, I've got to get into God's Word and it's going to be hard to get something out of God's Word. But really, all you have to do is open the Bible and read, and all of it's good. All of it is for our edification. And but this particular story, this morning we began to look at, and we began to share some things concerning a problem. And we're not going to go through these points we mentioned this morning. We're not going to re-preach them. I just want to briefly run over them, and we have three we want to mention tonight. But we mentioned the problem in verse number 5. And the problem had to do with a hungry company. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And we've seen that there was a hungry company of people, but also this problem had to do with Philip actually looking to himself for sufficiency. And Philip began to look within himself to solve this problem. Verse number 7, Philip answered him. Philip answering Jesus, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And so literally Jesus was asking Philip what to do. Philip said, well, Lord, all I have is enough money for one meal. And the question is, and what we asked this morning, is why would Jesus ask such a thing? Why would the Lord ask Peter? Well, I mean Philip. Well, and the answer is in verse number 6. And this he said to prove him. It was a test. It was a test. The word prove means test. For he himself knew what he would do. And so Jesus knew what he would do. But yet Jesus was seeing what Philip would do. And such is the case in our life from day to day. The test is sent out among us, and the Lord is seeing, will we rely upon our own resources or will we lean upon him for resources? That's the test from day to day, and that's the challenge. And so we looked at Philip, and then we looked at Andrew in verse number 8 and 9. Verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And we looked at Andrew this morning and how that Andrew, he wasn't like Philip was. Philip was looking to himself for sufficiency, but Andrew showed partial faith. Andrew actually looked and seen a child that had a sack lunch and said, Lord, here's someone who has a sack lunch. But there's a little word in verse number 9 where this little inkling of faith that Andrew had ran out. And the word is but. In verse number 9, there is a lad here. So it's like Andrew had this amount of faith that was working. Lord, here's a lad and 2 fish and 5 loaves. But what are they among so many? There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And this morning we said that many times in life, and probably that's most of us, much of the church, that's we have faith working. It's operating in life. But there's those situations that we can't just get over. We're trying to work over. We're mulling over those situations. We want to jump in and help, but we want to dive in and do this, but we mentioned this morning there may be some who want to get back in the choir, but there may be even some who are listening even now who want to come back to Calvary, but there are those times in life where we want to trust Jesus with our finances, but so sometimes in life there is that but factor. You know, it's where faith is operating, but there is something that is holding a person back. And again, a lesson here given among the loaves. And so that was Andrew. And then, of course, there was the lad. And that's where we stopped this morning. In verse number 9 again, we kind of moved the focus upon the lad. There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And we actually stopped for a moment and looked at this lad. We didn't look at Philip. We didn't look at Andrew. We looked at the lad. And we mentioned that this lad was near Jesus. Also, and this is just my thinking, that I'm pretty sure that this little lad wasn't the only little lad whose mother packed him a little lunch that day. Pretty sure there were other little lads whose mother packed them little lunches that day. But that this little lad was right by, near to Jesus. This little lad did not need a miracle. He had his lunch. He was also in the same area that viewed the multitude that was hungry. Yet he was at the disposal of Jesus. And we've seen that something amazing happened. In verse number 11, the Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves. That implies that the lad gave the loaves to Jesus. 2 things happened here. And this morning we mentioned this, and then we're going to change gears and move on. Number 1, there was a transfer, and then there was a transformation. This little lad positioned himself near to Jesus, and he transferred what he had, 2 fish, 5 loaves, into the hands of Jesus. And when he did that into the right hands, Jesus transformed it and fed the multitude. And tonight is the same case with you and I. It doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how much talent you have. All that matters is you give to Jesus what you have, what a little bit of talent or a lot of talent you have, what little or much money you have. Give it to Jesus. He will take that. There's the transfer, and then he will transform that, and he will use that for his honor and for his glory. And so we talked about that this morning. Also, I want to tag onto that the story of Elijah and the widow lady. You remember the story in 1 Kings 17, how that Elijah, he was by the brook Cherith. The Lord has sent him there. There came a time when the brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, the Lord told him to get to Zarephath. And there was a widow lady there. And she had a little bit of oil and a cruse and a handful of meal. And that the Lord was going to sustain him there. And so when Elijah went to that lady's house, he commanded that she make him a cake first out of the substance that he had, she had. And so the story as it goes, she did that, him first. And the Bible says that the meal barrel did not waste and that they ate many days after that. What is that? There was a transfer. The woman gave to the man of God, and because of that, there was a transformation. She ate for many days. I want to move on tonight, and I want to complete this story a lesson from the loaves, if I could. And not only as we look at this story, a lesson from the loaves, yeah, there was a position, the lad's position. There was a problem here, a hungry company of people. Philip was looking to himself for sufficiency. Andrew showed partial faith, but also there was a participation as well. A participation. Look in verse number 10, if you would. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. There's a participation here. And what I mean by that is that Jesus chose to use his disciples here. Jesus did not have to use them. We're talking about the Godhead here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the second person in the Godhead. We're talking about the Godhead in its entirety. The creator of the universe did not have to use anybody to feed this multitude, but he chose to. He chose to use them. And I want you to notice something. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would." So now we have a picture of Jesus taking the two fish and the five loaves, and he blessed them, and he broke them, and he distributed those to the disciples, and they're now distributing to the multitudes. And the Bible says that they would take as much as they would. So the picture gives is literally this. As long as the disciples were handing it out, there was more to receive and give out. As long as they were handing it out, there was much stay. As long as they were handing it out, there was much to retrieve to hand out more. As long as they were digging in and giving out, there was much to retrieve. As long as they were doing it. The Bible says again in verse number 11, that latter part, it says, "And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would." This is the miracle of the loaves. They were going and they were serving. And as long as they were operating out of faith and believing, they were performing as the Lord would have them to. Again, this was a participation. As the disciples gave out and reached out, there was a plentiful supply taking place. It never ran dry. Although there were two fish and five loaves, as long as they were moving, as long as they were reaching out, it was plentiful every single time. It was the miracle loaves. It was the miracle fish. It never ran dry. The only time the supply stopped is when they stopped. And I want to say this about ministry. I want to say this about life. I want to say this about supply. And I want to say this about our performance as Christians. The time that our performance stops as Christians, the time that backsliding starts, is when we stop. Our performance goes downhill. Our Christianity spirals out of control is when we stop. But as long as we're going, and as long as we're giving of ourselves, and as long as we're sharing the gospel, as long as we're going to church, as long as we're reading the word, as long as we're praying to God, as long as we're surrendering to him, that supply will be there. You see, two fish and five loaves, that's a miracle. Always there. Never running dry. You get that picture? But the moment that they were to stop, the supply stopped. Same concept with the widow woman and the handful of meal and the cruse of oil. And Elijah, the Bible says that she would go out there every day and that meal barrel was always full. That's because of faith and trust. But the moment that she stopped obeying, the meal stopped. And I want to say tonight that as long as we're moving forward with Jesus, His provisions are steady. And so we see that here in verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. When He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have as much of Jesus as you want? Are you satisfied in your Christian life where you're at now? Those disciples, they were distributed. It was a miracle. Every time they reach in, they were feeding. They were feeding. It was miraculous. It was a miracle. As much as they would. 12 baskets left over. They were experiencing. Are you experiencing tonight the miraculous? Guess what happens when the miraculous stops? Guess what happens when we stop hearing from the Lord? It normally happens when we stop hearing from the Lord. All that normally stops happening when this stops happening. We stop reaching in. When church attendance stops, when our Bible reading stops, when our praying stops, this stops. But when we stay in God's Word and we stay going to the house of God and stay reaching out, we're operating out of God's provisions, and He is allowing us to experience the supernatural. Is that making sense tonight? Amen. And so we see that there's a participation here. I want you to notice something else. In verse number 12, there's a priority when it comes to the lesson of the loaves. A priority. In verse number 12, he says, when they were filled. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. In verse number 12, he says, when they were filled. I want you to know that Jesus, with 2 fish and 5 loaves, fed at least 5,000, probably 10 to 15,000 plus when you count the men, when you count the women and the kids. They all were filled. Their physical hunger was filled that day. Jesus filled the multitude. But I want you to notice something. We're in John 6. Turn over, if you would. Same chapter, but verse number 22. That hunger wore off. And they were hungry again. Because in verse number 22, the Bible says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea, Jesus had left and went to the other side now of the sea. The disciples were in a storm. When the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They were hungry yesterday and got filled physically. Now here's a new day. They were hungry again. And now Jesus is shifting their focus from a physical hunger. Now look at verse number 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And so Jesus now is shifting their focus. He said, listen, I fed you physically. And really, I fed you physically to picture something eternally. I fed you yesterday physically. And today you say you're hungry again. You follow me because you're wanting your physical needs met. But I want to tell you, Jesus speaking, I want to tell you there is a spiritual need that needs to be met. And I want to say tonight that this old world is trying to fulfill their physical needs. They think they want their physical needs met. They're going after the physical man. They're trying to fulfill the lust of their flesh and the lust of their eyes and the pride of life. But really, it's Jesus that they need. They need their spiritual needs met. They need to get saved is what they need. He says in verse number 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Oh, they were filled yesterday. Jesus performed the miracles yesterday. Just like the world we live in, the Lord, He'll reach out to a lost and dying person. He'll come by their place and He'll bless them. And He'll reach out to them and perform a miracle. And He doesn't just do it just for the miracle's sake. He'll do it so that that may draw them to a place of salvation. For the goodness of God leadeth them to repentance, the Bible says. Just like every place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the Lord doesn't just heal somebody for the miracle's sake. You want to know why? Because those people who Jesus heals and performs a miracle, guess what? They still died. They still died in the Bible. It was always a picture of something. They still needed salvation. And so here we have the simple fact that Jesus fed them physically, but now they're coming after Him. He said, listen, you need to be fed spiritually. And I want to say today that Jesus is our daily bread. He feeds us from manna above. But not only that, but He feeds a lost and dying world. But they simply need to get saved, first of all. And so we see a priority when it comes to this miracle of the loaves. They were filled, and what an event that was. They distributed that bread all over the grass, the grassy plains there, and the multitudes, and everybody was happy. Next day they came looking for Him. Jesus had left. Some were trying to arrest Him to be king. They were trying to arrest Him by force to be king. And Jesus plainly says, you're seeking me because of your belly. You're not seeking me for the miracles. He says in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. And so we see here a priority in the lesson of the loaves. And that priority is simply this, is that physical bread is important, but it only gets you by for so long. There comes a point in time where a person needs to experience that eternal bread, that spiritual bread, needs to get born again. Trust Jesus as their Savior. Here comes a point in time when they need to lean upon Him for salvation, and definitely for the life of a Christian, we need to be at Jesus' feet day in and day out, partaking of our daily bread. That manna was rained down in the Old Testament each and every day for that particular day. Let me mention one more thing. In this lesson of the loaves, we see a priority. We see a participation. We see the position. We see a problem. But what's the ultimate purpose of this lesson of the loaves? The ultimate purpose. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 6. While you're turning to Mark 6, turn to Mark 6, verse number 52. The miracle of the loaves is the only miracle recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by both, all four men. They all spoke of this miracle, all four of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with the exception of the resurrection, they all spoke of that. But all four of these men, they spoke of the miracle of the loaves. What is this ultimate purpose of the miracle of the loaves? Well, it's almost like a progression. I want you to notice that in Mark chapter number 6, the disciples, of course, this is Mark's account. Notice, if you would, in verse number 47, we're reading this story from a different angle. They're in a storm. This is after the miracle of the loaves. And when even was come, Mark 6, verse 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. He alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Notice verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. How about that? What was the ultimate purpose of this miracle? I believe the ultimate purpose of the miracle of the loaves was, we have the miracle of the loaves. This was a lesson from the school teacher. It was a lesson of his ability. It was a lesson of his power. It was a lesson of what he can do with just a little bit of someone who was positioned just right by the Lord's side. But as you know, and I know, after every lesson comes the test. And so after the lesson, here's what Jesus, through the providence of God, those disciples are now in a boat in a storm. Jesus had just taught the lesson, and now the disciples are in a boat and they're in a storm, and Jesus is saying, let's see if they pass the test. And some of you are here tonight, and the Lord has been showing you things and leading you places. You've seen miracle after miracle, but tonight you're in a storm. Tonight you're in a test. And I just have to say to myself that these disciples, the Bible says in verse 52, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves. Listen, I'm thinking 12 basketfuls left over. There's a basketful. Another disciple, there's a basketful. There's a basketful. They're in the middle of a storm. And there they are. They got a basketful. What about the loaves? What about that miracle? What about that miracle the Lord just did? Why am I fretting? Why am I worrying? The Lord just performed a great miracle. And many of us, even tonight, we have seen the Lord do miraculous things in our life. He has parted waters when there was no way for us to get through. And now we are in a boat and there's choppy waters. There's storms that are contrary. And here we are. We're fretting and we're worrying. But there's one thing about it. Jesus will be there for us. He has proven himself faithful. He has nothing else to prove. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. And the only thing we have to do is remember where he's brought us from. So the purpose, I believe, in the whole lesson has to do, and it builds up to be a test. Those disciples, they seen his ability. They took the lad's lunch. He took the lad's lunch. The disciples distributed it. Everybody was in amazement. 12 baskets full left over. They seen his ability. They seen his power. And now there had to be some kind of obstacle to get them out of there. So through God's providence and through the account of the book of John, they tried to arrest Jesus. That got them out of there. The disciples went into a ship. They're in a storm. That was the test. Right in the middle of the storm, they had the baskets, the loaves right there at their feet, and they didn't even consider what God had just done not even a day ago. How many times is that the case of all of us, though? You know, God can reach down and save a soul. God can touch somebody and heal cancer. God can cause a financial debt to be taken care of. Listen, God can do anything he wants to do. And then in 24 hours, here we are again, fretting and worrying. Isn't that the case a lot of the times? I mean, we're human. Things like that happen. But the whole thrust of the message today is simply this, is that we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. And many times the reason why I'm convinced we go through the same test is because we've never learned the lesson. We go through the same test because we never learned the lesson. And once we've learned the lesson, maybe we'll go on to a new test. I don't know. But nonetheless, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Of course, this whole lesson of the loaves, this test after the lesson, this definitely was not to harm the disciples. It was to enrich them. It was to sharpen them. It was to grow their faith and challenge them. And that's what the Lord is after tonight. He wants to grow our faith. He wants to sharpen us. He wants to enrich our lives because he wants to use us. He wants us to be able to reach into resources that may be very little, but through the eyes of faith to say, you know what? I feel the Lord is leading. Here you go. Go back for another. You know what? I feel the Lord is leading. Here you go. Whoa, it's there again. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Feel the Lord is leading to do this. Here you go. Here you go. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about just faith, believing God to do stuff. Don't even see it coming. You're operating out of faith, and you know that God has done things. God can do things. You're just believing. He's taking your little bit and he's multiplying it. You're walking on water. You're believing God through the storm. This is the Christian life, people. Just like that. But see, the basket does get empty when we stop. Because the Bible does say that as long as there was plenty, as much as they would have, it was there. As long as they were given it. Tonight, I wonder, in the conclusion of the sermon, I wonder. I know some responded this morning, and I know it's been a long week, this past week, and it's been a great week. I know that many of us are tired. We've got school and work coming up. But maybe someone else needs to come tonight. Just come and get your basket full. Maybe someone needs to come tonight and say, Lord, my basket's empty. Maybe you stop believing in an area and say, Lord, load my basket up. I'm ready to distribute again. I'm ready to hand out again, whatever that is. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you today for who you are, for what you do. I pray that, Lord, we would give whatever we have, that there will be a transformation. Lord, that we would understand that it's a lesson you're teaching us. There's a test that follows. You want to enrich our lives for your honor and your glory, because ultimately there's a lost and dying world that needs to be reached. And I pray during invitation time, if there's somebody that needs to come, Lord, you'd make it easy for them. This is the place that we're to come and do business with you. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you come.